All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And we're going to go through this chapter, so we're going to just read it as we go. But this is a beautiful allegory. It's true, it's history, it's fact, but it's a history that teaches us some spiritual truths. That's an allegory. Now, we're going to have a picture here of how God saves by grace. We've got a picture here of how his preachers go forth and what he commands them to do, and his witnesses, all his witnesses. Now, in this passage, Abraham is the father, and he represents God the Father. And Isaac is his son, the heir, and he represents God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the servant, who is a representation of God's messengers, those who are earthen vessels in the hands of God the Holy Spirit, who goes before them and makes their way clear. And we have a picture here of Rebecca. Rebecca represents the believer, those who are called, those who are the bride of Christ. So let's begin reading here. In verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, we see here first of all that the servant of God is sent with a specific charge. He has a specific purpose that God has sent him with. Abraham was a wealthy man. He was blessed of God. And his son Isaac was the heir of all Abraham's riches. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, his well-beloved Son. And he's the heir of all things. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand, Scripture says, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Now, Abraham sends his servant, his faithful servant, to find a bride for Isaac, a bride from among his own people, a bride who would share with Isaac all the inheritance that went to Isaac. Now, there's a people in this world, a people out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue under heaven that God has chosen. And they make up the bride of Christ. And that's his bride. The Scripture says, thy maker is thine husband. Paul said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We're one in Christ. The believer is one in Christ. His bride. His bride. And Christ's bride, every believer that's called out by grace, is a joint heir with Christ of all that he possesses. Romans 8:17 says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, just as Abraham sent his servant out to find this bride, God sends his witnesses out, his preachers, his servants, his witnesses, believers into the world to find this bride. That's our purpose, is to find this bride. Paul said, I'm not sent to baptize. That is, I'm not sent just to try to get a following and get numbers. I'm sent to preach Christ and him crucified. And he said, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. But he said, all things are of God. Everything is of God. And he's reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And Paul said, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so as Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ did beseech you. We beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. Now, here's the second thing. There's absolutely no compromise in this charge. No compromise in it. Look at verse 5. The servant had a question here. The servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spoke unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Now, the woman's going to have to leave her home. This bride's going to have to leave her home. She's going to have to leave her land. She's going to have to leave her kindred. She's going to have to leave it all behind. And she's called to love a man. She's called to commit herself to this husband. She's called to trust this husband, to commit her all to him. And she's never met this man. And all the messenger has that's going down there, this servant has, is a word from his father about the son, about the husband. That's all he's got. And so he says, good question. What if she's not willing to come? Should I bring your son down there too? And the Lord said not once but twice, no, you don't bring my son down there to her. Look there at verse 6. Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Look at verse 8. At the end there, he says, only bring not my son thither again. We're forbidden to bring Christ down to the sinner's level. We're forbidden to do that. If Rebekah won't leave everything and go to Isaac, she's not fit to be his bride. If Isaac has to go to her to get her to come to him, then Isaac's gone down. He's gone down in honor. He's gone down in excellency. She's got to go to him. She's got to go up to him. Much as we'd like to see sinners saved, brethren, as much as we'd like to see sinners saved, there's something more important than that. And that's the honor of God and the glory of God. The honor of God the Father and the honor and glory of his Son. That's right. The believer, witnesses, that go forth and set forth this word, that must be our chief concern. That must always be our chief concern. We must never diminish our God and our Savior. Compromise doesn't save anybody anyway. It really doesn't. If you brought Christ down and taught him to be somebody he's not, that's another Jesus. And another Jesus never saved anybody. There's one name. There's one, Christ Jesus, by whom sinners are saved. And he's the one we declare. Now, the offense of the cross, it's offensive, but it's the only message that's going to save sinners. It's the only God the Father choosing his bride for his son. That's a message that humbles a sinner. It makes salvation God's choice and not our choice. That abases the sinner. Christ coming in sinless flesh, that declares that there's none righteous, there's none good. That declares that it was a must that God sent forth his own Son, righteous and holy, to come forth and redeem a people for himself. The direct declaration that Christ fully satisfied the law of God and made satisfaction to God for every particular individual elect child of God declares a victorious Redeemer. It declares a victorious Savior who cannot fail. And that's our message. That's not just some doctrine we can take or leave. That's the heart of who Christ is, the all-victorious Redeemer. And it makes salvation to be by the obedience of one when you declare that to sinners. The declaration of the necessity of the new birth declares that it exalts God's will. It exalts his will, his power, his wisdom, and abases the sinner, abases us. That's why Abraham said here, don't bring my son thither again. You beware that you don't bring my son down to her. Where's our sufficiency for this work? Where's our sufficiency for this work? Look here in verse 7. This is what Abraham said. Abraham knew what God was able to do, because God had done it to Abraham. And this is what he said. The Lord God of heaven, she's going to have to leave her father's house. Abraham says, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, she's going to have to leave her kindred. He said, and took me from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and swear unto me, made a covenant unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He said, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son. He'll send forth the Holy Spirit. He'll send forth before you, before his witnesses. He'll send forth the Holy Spirit. And he'll make sinners willing. It's not our calling. It's not our charge to use any power of persuasion or logic or any such thing to call out God's sheep. That's not it. He'll do this. He said, I'll send my angel before thee. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. This message is for all of us that believe the Lord. The Spirit of God goes before the messenger. He prepares the way. He quickens. He makes alive. He creates life. He draws through the preaching of the word. Our God doesn't speak in maybes either. Look there in verse 7. He says, he will go before you, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. He said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The bride's been chosen already. She's already been chosen. The scripture says, we're bound to give thanks always to God, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because he has from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, unto the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride will hear the voice of the husband. She's going to hear the voice of her beloved, and she's going to go. She's going to go with him. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. And no man's going to pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave them to me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of his hand. I and my Father are one, he said. And the bride's going to come to her husband. She's going to come to her husband. The Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Now, if you can get hold of this declaration of God, Abraham knew it. He said, this is how I left my home and my family and my kindred and went out into a land that I didn't even know. If we get a hold of this and we've experienced this by grace, this is what will give us the boldness to just realize, you know, I can just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. And God'll work the work. Just tell the truth. Our success is not in how many people are called out. That's not what success is. It's doing what God sent you to do, whether he calls anybody out or not. Our business is not saving sinners. Our business is simply setting forth the light, setting forth Christ the light. If the woman won't go, he said, you're free. You're free. But our God gives every provision we need for this work. Look at verse 10. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. There was nothing attractive about those camels. That's a good picture of his witnesses too. There's nothing attractive. We're not wanting to attract folks to us. They're not attractive about these camels, but they're packing the precious jewels. That's what they loaded down with, precious jewels. Now that's attractive. What they're carrying is attractive. That's what's attractive. All right, here's the third thing. God's witnesses, his messengers and his witnesses are dependent entirely upon our God. Look at verse 11. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, "Oh Lord God, my master Abraham." He's praying. He's asking God, "Oh Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Do this for the sake of my master." Isn't that what we pray? Lord, we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for your honor, for your glory. Make this pilgrimage prosperous. Prosper us in our way. Make this word effectual to your people. He said, "And let it come to pass," verse 13, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water." This is where they came to get the water. He said, "Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." Now he's not saying just the first one that comes along, let that. He's just saying, whichever one it is, send her here, bring her here. And let that be, when I say this and she does what I say, show me that's the one, that's her. It's appointed, the one that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. She's appointed, she's designated to be this servant. He's saying, show me who your bride is. Show me, she said, call her out. Show me who she is. "And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." He don't know who she is. I don't know who his elect are. We don't know who they are. But he knows, and we have to ask him, "Lord, make this prosperous. Call her, the one you've appointed, call her out. Call her out." Now look here, the servant has to wait on the Lord too as we do this. Look at verse 15. "And it came to pass." It came to pass. How did it come to pass? How did it come to pass? Look over at verse 27. This is what the servant said. "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Who did it? He said the Lord did it. The Lord led me right to the bride. Now, look here. He says, "And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels." Now this looks like this is her, doesn't it? She's doing everything that the servant asked the Lord for her to do. This looks like it's her. But now watch this next verse. "And the man wondering at her held his peace," to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He wasn't hasty to grab hold of her and say, well, this is her, now come on, let's go. He waited. She bore all the marks of one that the Lord was calling, but he waited. He waited. He waited on her. Now, "It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head, and he worshipped the Lord." He thanked the Lord. He's praising God for what he's done here. He brought him to this place. He brought him to this bride. He brought her out to him, and he worshipped the Lord. We ask him to bless us, and we thank him when it does. We thank him for all the blessings that we've got in the past from him. He thanked the Lord there. Now, we wait on him. We don't speak peace where there's no peace. We wait on him. We wait on the Lord to make it clear. Now, here's the fourth thing. The servant of God must be about the Father's business. He must be about our Father's business. Now, look down here at I'll read on through. Verse 29. Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelet upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me." She told him everything that the man had said to her. And he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and he gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him. But, they're ready to eat. They're ready to have a party here. This is kinfolks that's come. Abraham's, this is one of the servants of Abraham. And they're excited he's there, and they're ready to put out meat and have something to eat and feast and socialize. But he said, "I will not eat till I've told mine errand." He said, "I came for some business. I came here to do something for my master. I'm not going to get sidetracked from this. I've got to tell you why I'm here. There's one reason I'm here. We can't let anything hinder us." And there's so many weights and so much sin that so easily besets us. It would take us out of the way. Can't be not money, not honor, not the business of the world, not the cares of this world. Nothing can interfere with this business. This is the business. Now he's going to speak to him. He said, "I'm Abraham's servant." Now you watch here. He's not speaking of himself. He's speaking of is the one that sent him. He said, "I'm Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had." It's a picture of Christ. This is a picture of God the Father, God the Son, and Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking of him, and he says, "And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son." That's where you're going to find, this is a picture of those that God has brought into his household by divine election. He said, "These are the ones I'm calling out. I'm calling out my kindred." And so he goes through and he tells her everything, rehearses everything that Abraham told him, and how he came and how he went to the well and everything that took place. He rehearses that whole matter to them. And when he gets through, he says this. He gives her a charge. He gives them in the house a charge. Look down at verse 49. He says, "Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." I like that. That's the fifth thing. The servant of God preaches for a verdict. He preaches for a verdict. If you're going to deal kindly, tell me. If you're not, tell me. Let's don't beat around the bush about this thing. If you're going to serve God, tell me. If not, tell me. There's no halting here. Then Laban and Bethuel answered. Not Rebekah. This is her brother and Bethuel. They answered, her father. And the thing proceedeth from the Lord, they said. We can't speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah's before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. The witness has got to be partaker of the bread. He got to be partaker of this glorious master, this glorious glory of his Savior. This is the third time now, and he's bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and prayed to God and thanked him and asked him for his mercy in this journey. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And then they ate and they drank, he and the men that were with him, and they tarried all night. That's what happens when you meet Christ. You have on a garment right now, you that don't know him, don't believe him, you have on a garment right now of rags. You have on a garment right now that won't profit you. It doesn't make you comely whatsoever. But when Christ comes, he puts on the jewels. He decks you. He decks his bride. He puts a garment of righteousness that he wrought himself by his obedience unto death on the cross, putting away the sin of this bride, making her comely, white, a chaste virgin. And he covers her in these jewels, and he decks her for himself, that he might present her to himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. This is what he does. And then you eat, you feast, you delight yourself in his fatness, in the plenty and the provision that he's made. And they tarried all night there, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." That's what the servant said. It's time to go now. And then her brother and her mother said, "Now wait a minute. Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, and then she'd go." The marginal reference says a year. Let her stay with us at least 10 months. They didn't want her to go. They didn't want her to leave. They've been doing all the talking right now. Rebekah hadn't said anything yet. They've been talking for her. And they're in the way. They're just in the way. It's not between Isaac and them. Not between Abraham and them. It's between Abraham and Rebekah. Between Isaac and Rebekah. And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And then they said, "We'll call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. We'll see what she says about this thing, what she wants to do." Now Rebekah finally gets to speak. She's going to say something now. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And look what she said. "I will go. I'll go with him." She never met Isaac. She's heard about him. You never met him. You never met the Lord Jesus Christ, but you see him with the eye of faith, don't you? That's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You believe him. You trust him. When he says, "Will you go?" you say, "I'll go. I'll go. I've heard about him. I've heard about him. I'll go." Have you ever heard anything that's not lovely about the Lord Jesus Christ? You ever heard anything that's not comely about God our Father? Anything? And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Now, I want you to get this point here. Saving faith, salvation, is a matter of your own heart. It's not a matter of another. It's not something somebody else can do for you. This is between you and God. Between you and God. Between the sinner and his Lord. Between the sinner and the Savior. That's who this thing is between. It's not of blood. No matter who your mother and father are, no matter, grace doesn't run in bloodlines. It's not based on blood. It's not based on kinship. You got to be sons of God by God's choosing. Got to be daughters of God by God's choosing. Him making you a son or a daughter. We saw that message about adoption. He adopts, predestinated his children unto the adoption by Jesus Christ to himself. It's not of the will of man. Mother and daddy can't sprinkle you into this everlasting covenant. They can't dedicate you into this covenant. A preacher can't coerce you into this thing. No man can do anything. It's not by the will of the flesh. You can't work your way into it. You can't educate your way into it. Where was Rebekah She was down there with her family, with her kindred, going about her day-to-day affairs, and the Lord sent his messenger right to her and brought her right to that messenger and led his messenger right to her house. And he preached the gospel to her. And then the question came, will you go? Will you go? That's the question. Will you go? Will you go with Christ? When it pleased God, Paul said, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal Christ in me, he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go around asking about it, anybody, is this okay? And you won't either. Rebecca didn't need, Brother Laban's consent on this thing. She didn't need her mother and her daddy's consent on this thing. She was asked, will you go? And she said, I will go. I will go. All right, here's the sixth thing. God's word never returns void. It always accomplishes the thing whereunto he sent it. Look at verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairo, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she jumped off the camel. She took off. She lit off the camel. For she said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? She saw him. She said, who is this? And the servant said, it's my master. And therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. She went home. She went home with the servant. She went home and was married to Isaac, and he loved her. Look over with me. Look over with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. When the Spirit of God goes before you, you know that, you know that. The Spirit of God goes before his messenger. God makes every provision. He loads the camels with all the precious jewels. You ask God to give you wisdom. You ask him to make the journey prosperous. You thank him for his mercies. Don't be sidetracked by anything. Don't be turned aside by anything. The Lord said, I must be about my Father's business, and we must be about our Father's business. Impress upon sinners the urgency of following Christ. Will you go? Will you go with Christ? Now watch this. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Always. 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 And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. What was he to Rebekah? The savor of life unto life. She said, I'm going. I'm leaving everything and I'm going. And who's sufficient for these things? Our sufficiency is of whom? It's of the one that called us and sent us. Abraham knew that. Abraham knew that. You've been called. If you've been called by this power, you know that. You know that. For we're not as many. And here's, we're not that way because we've been called by this mercy. We've been called by this power, by this wisdom. We've seen Christ as the power and wisdom of God. And for that reason, we're not as many which deal deceitfully with the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in, or the word is, of Christ. That's right. Have you beheld the beauty and glory of Christ the husband? Will you believe on him or will you not? Will you believe on him or will you not? Will you be married to him or will you not? You're going to have to forsake everything. You're going to have to follow him. Will you or will you not? It's what Abraham told his servant. It's what God tells his servants. If she won't come with you, you're free. This is what he's saying. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your blood is on your head. It's on your head. It's off the hands of me that's preaching this gospel to you. It's off the hands of these believers that have preached this gospel to you. Witness, bore witness of Christ. Your blood's on your own hand. You'll be lost. Lost. But if you believe him, if you trust him, cast your care on him, you have everlasting life. Everything that belongs to God. What is that? Everything. Everything that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? Everything. You joint heirs with him. It's yours too. It's yours too. Had to be insane not to go, wouldn't you? Had to be insane not to go. All right. Amen.